defending liberty 1 hour at a time, and broadcasting from the RWB Network Studios in New York, you're listening to The Rhino Report. Always right.
Let's get ready to rumble!
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
She got chunked. You are very rude.
If you want to turn yourselves into a greasy spot on a country road somewhere, go right ahead.
And now, here's your host, The Rhino.
Hello, hello, hello. I am The Rhino, and this is my report. Today, February 5th, 2016, unless, of course, you're listening on Red State Talk Radio Studio B, in which case, it's about 1 a.m. on February 6th. As always, just a little ahead of my time. Thanks for joining me today, Friday. It's finally Friday. We got cranes falling in New York City. You have stupid is as stupid does in the progressive Democrat debate last night on MSNBC. Hillary Clinton is invoking the, well, everybody's doing it, defense. Also, we have stocks. They are all over the place. Obama wants gas taxes. Oh my God, we have so much to get to today. Russia ramping things up, we need to keep an eye on that. And North Korea, well, I guess they don't like cigarettes. I don't know, we'll get into that. But first, we need to do the same thing we always do, salute our country with the Pledge of Allegiance. Alright, thank you to the kids for the Pledge of Allegiance as we hear them every single day, because we just don't say the pledge anymore. We don't go to work, we don't say the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, we have to do it. Every time we do the Rhino Report, we also do the Pledge of Allegiance. That will never change, that I can guarantee you. I don't know what's going on in this Democrat field, this situation, this debate. Things are getting a little testy. They're getting a little testy. This has become a competition for who's the most progressive. We knew Bernie Sanders was going to push Hillary to the left. We didn't know he was going to push her this far to the left. This is getting a little out of hand. She's getting offended when Bernie Sanders calls her establishment. Well, who's more establishment in American politics than the Clintons? Unbelievable. She's offended by it. She's a true progressive, she's saying. This was all at a debate in Durham, New Hampshire, last night on MSNBC. You know what? Give the moderators credit here. They didn't steal the show. You know, I can only watch these things for about 15 to 20 minutes. I mean, really, it makes my ears bleed. I can't imagine how anybody with an IQ above a stone can really latch on to any of this stuff. Any of this stuff. I get why some of these idiot college kids want the free education. I understand why they think it's a good idea. They're going to think it's a great idea until they have to pay for it. You know, like that one numbskull on Cavuto, what it was, about 2 months ago. I forget her name. She was the head of some progressive whatever in Northwestern University. And Neil asks her, he says, so you're going to make the 1% pay for everything. And she says, yeah, the 1% can pay for it all. So he says, what happens when the 1% leaves and they go somewhere else because they're tired of being taxed through the nose? And she goes, well, there'll always be a 1%. Yeah, soak that in just for a minute. Soak that in. This is what you're dealing with. And it's not just on the Bernie side anymore. Now it's on the Hillary side. I don't understand. Now, I know. I definitely adhere and I heed the warning of the phrase, half of the people you meet are below average. Okay? Half of the people you meet are below average. They must all be Democrats. They must all be Democrats because somehow you get like a 40%. There are some new polls out that show Hillary or Bernie still in the lead nationally over certain Republican candidates. And I just don't understand why that is. Other than the fact that these must be the people who are below average. That's the only thing I can think of to rationalize that. So they have this debate last night. Hillary Clinton closes with the line. She says, "I think it's time to end the very artful smear that you and your campaign have been carrying out in recent weeks." Of course, this directed at Bernie Sanders, and there was a cascade of boos. A cascade of boos. Why you would try that tactic in a state where you're trailing by 30% is really beyond me. You know, I would try to appeal to the better side of people, or maybe even not fight with Bernie Sanders so much, because there's such a disparity in the polls right now that going against him isn't going to get you any brownie points with those voters. The Clintons run these campaigns. They run them at full force, and then they run them full force into a brick wall. It happened in 2008. It's happening now. And as a Republican, as a conservative, as a patriot, I can't wait for Bernie Sanders to be the candidate on the Democrat side. I can't wait. This will be, we will have a landslide election. And if we don't, I'm moving to Canada. There, I said it. Really, Sanders is accusing Clinton of not walking the walk. And he says, "Secretary Clinton does represent the establishment. I represent, I hope, ordinary Americans." Oh, yeah? So are you folks out there in radio land, are you guys as ordinary as Bernie Sanders is? I don't think so. I don't think so. Things are definitely heating up on the Democrat side. During this debate, Hillary is asked a question about the emails, you know, because they have to ask it. They ask it sort of nicely. The moderator said, you know, are you sure these aren't going to affect you? And she says, I'm 100% confident. She's 100% confident that these emails are not going to be an issue. So either she knows something or she is completely off the reservation. 1,600 emails. 1,600 emails, including 22 classified higher than top secret. Unbelievable. But, you know, I mean, what's she going to say? What's she going to say? Yeah, I shouldn't even be here. She's going to say, no big deal. Everybody was doing it. Everyone. Colin Powell was doing it. Condoleezza Rice was doing it. This is what the Clinton campaign is now coming out with. This is what Representative Elijah Cummings was coming out with yesterday. But Colin Powell, I think there were 10 emails that were deemed confidential, and Condoleezza Rice, there were 2. So 12 versus 1,600, you're talking about apples and oranges. She's trying to turn this whole thing on its ear and point it toward the vast right-wing conspiracy. There's no conspiracy. The State Department, who's run by Democrats, are the ones releasing these emails and making you look like an idiot. Who in the State Department is part of the vast right-wing conspiracy? I'd love to hear this. James Comey? James Comey in the FBI is probably the most neutral person on the planet. You see him at these events. He stands, he claps, he doesn't get real riled up. He's very even-keeled. He's a very good, very moderate FBI director. You know? Who is the vast right-wing conspiracy that's perpetrating this? Please, somebody from the Clinton campaign, call me and tell me who it is. What is it? Is it Trey Gowdy? Trey Gowdy, who's supporting Marco Rubio? Is he part of the vast right-wing conspiracy? You know what? 4 months ago, I might have said yes. Now, I'm not so sure. And I'm sorry to you folks in South Carolina. I know you really like him, and I really liked him too. And I wanted him to be speaker, and I wanted him to run for president. But now, supporting Marco Rubio? You know what? That's an endorsement that should have come if Marco Rubio had been the candidate. That shouldn't have come as early as it did. But listen, Trey Gowdy got essentially nowhere with these Benghazi hearings. The only place he got was he got to this email stuff. This is kind of where it all started. But he wasn't part of the vast right-wing conspiracy. Unreal. I don't mean to unload on Trey Gowdy, but listen, the man has turned his back on many, many grassroots conservatives. I've said it before, Marco Rubio, not a bad guy, will probably be an okay president if elected, if he's even nominated. But he is not. He is not a deep-throated conservative like Rush Limbaugh wants to say he is. And I don't disagree with Rush much, But I disagree with that. I do not believe Marco Rubio is a deep-throated conservative. I believe he's fairly moderate. I believe he falls into the area of, you know, Bush, George W. That's where George W. had his moments to the right. He did. But for the most part, in comparison to a guy like Ted Cruz, he was definitely moderate. Maybe even against the Trump, he was a little moderate. You know, I know some of you think Trump has these Democrat tendencies, and while he may, on some certain social issues, make no mistake, fiscally and security-wise, Donald Trump is a staunch conservative. On just a couple of issues, don't yell at me, but there are some issues with the wall. Who else has said they're going to build a wall? Who else has said it? Who else has said they're going to drop corporate tax rate by 6%? No one. Kasich, who says he's a big conservative, only wants to drop it by 2%, if that. Rubio, we're not even quite sure what he wants to drop it by. It changes every 5 minutes. So, all right. So we're comparing 1,600 emails to 12. To 12. Unbelievable. I mean, I don't get it. I don't know. So this debate they had last night, if you can call it a debate, it was just kind of like two babies squabbling. Whatever, it's a debate. It was one of four that the Democrat National Committee has added to the schedule. This, of course, now, because all of a sudden Hillary Clinton wants to debate. Remember when she was leading every poll by 20, 30, 40%? She wanted no debates. She wanted these debates to air at 3 a.m. in Saskatoon, somewhere in Canada, or, you know, maybe in Latvia. That's where she wanted these debates to air. She didn't want them on TV because, you know, I think everybody realizes that she just looks so fake. It doesn't matter what she says. She could promise to give each person in this country $1 million. She still looks fake, and they wouldn't believe her. She could have a check. She could have a check in her hand that she's going to whack up into 350 million different pieces to give to an American citizen, and they still won't believe her. Half of it will go to the Clinton Foundation, probably. Somehow she'll work that out. I don't know. So they added four debates, three more to go, all at the request of Clinton, because Clinton now said she wants them. Debbie Wasserman Schmutz was saying, you know, for the longest time, well, you know, we're all happy with the debate schedule. So Clinton throws her under the bus, and all of a sudden she says, you know, we want the DNC to sanction more debates. And Wasserman Schmutz, who's been protecting Clinton this whole time, of course, acquiesces, and here we are with four more debates. So four more times you're going to have to buy earplugs or change the channel or something of that nature to stop hearing this rhetoric. This rhetoric, it is terrible. Terrible, terrible. It's not good. It's not good for your heart, it's not good for your blood pressure, and it's not good for this country. All right. So let's go on to things that also aren't good for this country. That would be the economy right now. Now, the president came out today, did a little victory lap. He said that we added 151,000 jobs in January. That sounds like a lot, right? Well, not when you take into account that the estimated job growth was supposed to be 190,000, all right? And that was even further below the 262,000 in December. Now, that was revised from 292,000, they said we get in December. So when the economy starts falling off, they say we added 1 billion jobs. And then a month later, they revise the number. This happens all the time. Whenever you hear a first number, whether it's a GDP number or a job growth number or an unemployment number, you're always getting the best possible number first. What they can get away with being the best number. And then either 1 month or 3 months later, depending if it's a monthly or a quarterly report, they adjust it before they release the next one. Okay? That's how this works. The information you receive as a citizen is metered. Don't for a second think it's not. So we added 151,000 jobs, and unemployment fell below 5% for the first time since 2008 to now 4.9%. But if you are an educated politi-nerd, or you are an informed voter, you know that the unemployment number is a sham because that number doesn't take into account the people who have fallen off of the unemployment rolls, people who still can't find work, who did the 99 weeks or 90 weeks, whatever it is, on unemployment and are now off of it and now are just They're out. They're not included in any facts and figures. At this point in this country, 1 in 5 able-bodied American men is still out of work. That's 20%. A far cry from the victory lap 4.9% President Barack Hussein Obama wanted to take today. So jobs, listen, 151,000, not a bad number. It's a bad number when you consider we should be adding at least 200,000 a month. That's where the number should be. To have a stable economy, 200,000 a month. So this 151,000 down from the 191 that they were projecting, I guarantee you by next month, this number is down to 135, 130. It's going to be in that area before they release the February numbers, which are going to be low because it's a short month. And that will be the excuse for low numbers there. So the economy is having a tough time today. It's off about, I think it's off like 150 points right now. Let me check real quick. It's off 181 points right now on the Dow. That is, a lot of that is because now you have speculation about whether or not they're going to raise interest rates again in March. We had no rate hike here in January. We saw, was it late November last year, a 0.25% hike, very, very minute. And so now they're wondering with these job expectations lowered, and everybody on Wall Street knows this unemployment number is a sham. They all know it. They all know the unemployment number is BS. So now it's, should we be worried that they may take the quarter percent away, not add, or even add and double down on a bad economy just to make it look like the president is, having faith in his collapsing economy? This is all about politics, folks. It doesn't matter how the economy is doing. They will do whatever they can get away with. Whatever they can get away with. Your left-leaning economists will say that a rate hike is baked in to this little correction we're in right now. It's not. It's not baked in. We can do a whole show. I can do a whole show on finance, but this is definitely not baked in. So today, the big tumblers are LinkedIn. LinkedIn on the NASDAQ, I mean, they're off like 30%. I don't know how LinkedIn makes money anyway. I have a LinkedIn account. I don't know how it makes money. McDonald's not doing so hot today after having a very, very strong 2015 because of the all-day breakfast. And now they're replacing counter people with computers. Hey, who didn't see that coming? All right, Home Depot, not so hot. Nike, not so hot today on the Dow. So things not looking great, but the president still feels he wants to take a victory lap today. And you know what? I'm not totally surprised. He takes a lot of victory laps and takes credit for a lot of things that, well, he just didn't do. But one thing he's going to have to answer for is this proposed now tax on gas. Have you guys heard about this? This is going to be big news. You need to pay attention. Finally, in this country, we're paying below $2 a gallon in most places. Now, here in New York, on Long Island, we typically have high gas prices. A lot of our gas comes actually from Montreal. So it comes down through. It has to pay the border tariff or whatever, come down through all of New York, 7-hour ride down to New York City, and then we get our gas. And actually, people who live on the way down, their gas prices are even higher because the truck doesn't deliver until it finishes New York City and then goes back upstate. So those people, I feel bad, and I used to live there, so I know it's terrible. So now, finally, most of us are paying under $2. It's $1.95 here. I filled up today on Long Island, which this is usually on the higher end of things. Some of you out in the Midwest are paying well below that. You're in the 150s, 140s area, and I envy you for that. But now, the president wants to put a $10 per barrel tax on American-produced oil. All right. The current federal tax is about 18.4 cents on a gallon. When you pump the gas at your local gas station, you're paying about a federal tax of 18.4 cents. All right. He wants to increase the federal tax to about 43.4 cents per gallon. That is a 136% increase. So if you're paying right now, let's say you're paying $2 a gallon. Let's go on the high end, $2 a gallon. The minute he imposes this tax, you're paying $2.50 a gallon, almost $2.50 a gallon. We're right back to where we were at the end of last year, well, actually the beginning of last year, at about $2.50 a gallon. This is no good. This is This is something, this is to fund, he says, his green initiatives. So really, it's a sin tax. Whenever you take money from somebody to put it somewhere else to counter what the first person was doing, you can call it a sin tax, right? So like when they tax cigarettes at 450%, and then they use that money to fund cancer research or cancer experiments in the CDC, it's a sin tax. Well, it's the same thing here. 136% increase on your tax is now going to fund these green initiative things. So he wants to spend $2 billion on green vehicle and aircraft research and $400 million to make sure that the green fleet is now safely integrated into Americans' transportation system. So this begs the question, who are the lobbyists getting the money who have these green initiatives? Can you look to a Bill Ayers? Can you look to a George Soros? I don't know. I have no idea. But there's a reason why he wants his money. It's to pay somebody else. It's to pay a lobbyist, a lobby group who are lobbying for somebody. This isn't just because he thinks it's a good idea. He doesn't have to face re-election, so he knows. And I think in the back of his mind, at the end of the day, he doesn't give half a moose turd if Hillary Clinton is elected. I really don't. I really, really don't. I really think he probably aligns better with Elizabeth Warren, with Bernie Sanders. That's who he really aligns better with ideologically. So he doesn't care about hurting. This is the way the Democrats think. They think the Republicans will get elected, they'll screw everything up, and the Democrats will be back in office 4 years from now. That's what he's thinking here. All right. So sin tax coming. I don't know if this will ever get through the Congress, but at the end of the day, we know it doesn't have to. He can just sign an executive order, and Paul Ryan will sit on his thumb and do nothing about it. Mitch McConnell will sit on his thumb. Mitch McConnell may sit on Paul Ryan's thumb. Who knows? Who knows who's sitting on whose thumb anymore? But they're not going to do anything about it. He's just going to sign away executive orders for the next 11 months, and that's going to be that, and we're going to be paying more for gasoline. He didn't say he's going to tax the barrels coming into this country from Saudi Arabia, his friends in the Muslim Brotherhood, or from Iran, who he just gave $1.7 billion to as a ransom, essentially, to release those 10 sailors. No, he's going to tax American-made petroleum, American-made or drilled oil. Let that sink in. This is your president, folks. This is your president. For better or worse, I guess, right? The groundhog, it depends on where you live, right? The groundhog either saw his shadow or didn't see his shadow. Here in the New York metro area, we have like 12 different groundhogs. The good news was this year, Mayor de Blasio didn't kill one because he killed one like 4 years ago. He dropped it on its head and it died a week later. Such an idiot. De Blasio is such an idiot. But, yeah, so maybe the groundhog saw his shadow and it means 11 more months of Obama. I don't know. Who knows anymore? Well, I guess let's keep going with the stupids. This is the stupid parade, all right? Because I want to spend the next half of the show talking about some cool stuff and some fun stuff and maybe doing some polls and talking about good conservative politics. Let's get the stupids out of the way. And leading, well, let's just say the second in command of the stupid parade, John Kerry. All right? Some of you probably thought I was going to say, like, you know, Valerie Jarrett or something like that, or Janet, or Loretta Lynch. I mean, they're up there. They're in the stupid parade. But John Kerry, number two, a solid number two. He says in Rome yesterday, he's at a conference of coalition members who were tasked with taking on ISIS. He says in a statement, "ISIS is in fact nothing more than a mixture of killers, of kidnappers, of criminals, of thugs, of adventurers, of smugglers and thieves." All right. He goes on to say, "And they're also, above all, apostates, people who have hijacked a great religion and lie about its real meaning and lie about its purpose and deceive people in order to fight their purposes." So in the first part of the statement, he calls them kidnappers and criminals and thugs and adventurers. It sounds like he's talking about the Pirates of the Caribbean. Like this is something you want to be a part of. And then he goes on and he calls them apostates. Well, that's interesting. Because an apostate describes somebody who has abandoned or renounced their religion. Do you think ISIS, the fighters of ISIS, have abandoned their religion? How stupid is this guy? And it's not the first time he said it. He's said it many, many times. Apostates. Unreal. Unbelievable. These people, you know, people, the fighters in ISIS believe they are killing apostates. They believe they're killing people who have abandoned Islam or the Muslim faith. That's who they think they're killing. So why is Kerry... I don't get it, folks. This is... It's like... They say the dumbest things. They just say the stupidest things. I feel like I sound like Donald Trump today. Everybody's stupid. But when you read articles like this and you see this happening on a daily basis, and someone like Fox News hasn't even picked this up. They haven't done one story about this today. It's what the administration really believes is happening. They're making it so we should feel bad for these ISIS people. I don't know. So maybe John Kerry is entering the first stage of Alzheimer's. Who knows? I have no idea. All I know is here today in New York, it is snowing about 7 or 8 inches of snow. A crane collapsed in the middle of Tribeca. It was on Worth Street. It had about 560-foot of boom on it. And they were trying to lower the crane to get into a safe position during this little snowstorm we're having. It tipped over. It landed on like 15 cars. It just squashed all the cars. It did kill one person. That's terribly unfortunate. Many people are injured. Some reports say 2. Some say 15. I'm not quite sure. The administration here in New York City, Mayor de Blasio, has said no crane work at all today. All cranes shut down. This was a crawler crane. It was on tracks, treads. I happen to know a thing or two about the industry. This boom should have been lowered last night. Knowing that there was a storm coming, they should have lowered this boom last night during good conditions. But you need to have the permit to do that because the boom takes up a lot of space. And they obviously did not have the permit to do it. So while de Blasio was making a press conference today, statement saying, oh, all the inspections were done and the crane was great, well, his city didn't allow for this boom to be lowered last night during a safe condition. All right. And a lot of people who don't know the construction industry like I do, I've been involved in construction for a long time, are not going to know this. And this will probably never get out there. But I would like to see if the operators of the crane, I know who they are. I'm not going to say them on air because I'm not sure if everyone knows who the operators are. The crane was owned by Bay Crane. They've had a few issues. I know who the operators were. I wonder if they, because they rented the crane from Bay Crane, I wonder if they had applied for a permit to lower the boom last night. That's what I wonder when it comes down to this. But one accident happens and everything gets shut down. All construction in New York City comes to a halt because one thing happens. And it's a terrible thing. Don't get me wrong. It should never, never happen. They never should have been in a position for this to happen. But you can't shut down all construction because one thing happened. People have jobs. They need paychecks. They got to put food on the table for their families. And this mayor shows up to this scene 2 hours after it happens because... So in New York City, where this crane collapse was is about 3 blocks from Gracie Mansion. Gracie Mansion is where the mayor resides. Well, our mayor... I mean, I can't say mine because I don't live in the city. But mayor of New York City, Mayor Conrad Bill de Blasio... Instead of coming 3 blocks to the accident scene, every morning he goes to Brooklyn, which is like an hour away, to work out at the same little dinky gym he's been working out for the last 20 years. And then he goes next door to a cafe for his croissant and tea before he gets to work. Mayor de Blasio has not reported to work before 10 a.m. at any point in his administration or his tenure. And here he is showing up to this terrible accident. Hours after it happened, because he had to get his workout in and his tea and croissant, so he didn't want to be hungry, I guess. Meanwhile, streets are shut down, gridlock is crazy, a crane is laying across 15 cars, and, you can all wait for the mayor to show up. All right, that's going to bring us to our break. We're going to talk about maybe George W. Bush in the next part of the show. We're going to talk about Megyn Kelly. Why does Megyn Kelly owe Donald Trump a big thank you? We're going to go into that. We'll talk a little bit about Ben Carson, maybe a little bit of Carly Fiorina. She's not real happy right now. And there is a school in Oklahoma that I need to give a big shout out to. So stay with me. But during the break, while you're listening, head over to Twitter, give me a follow, at Rhino on Air. That's at Rhino, R-Y-N-O, on Air. Or shoot me an email. Always welcoming your audio submissions of your child saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Just include the first name and your hometown. I will get them on air. Also, you can head over to the rwbnetwork.com website, and there are some articles there. We have a new one up by Tina. It's a very good article. Also, you can find her on Twitter at LadyBo49 and give her a shout out there. So I will see you in a little bit. Well, let's call it a minute. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Rhino Report.
She got chunked.
Always right. Now streaming on Red State Talk Radio.
You are very rude.
Hey guys, your friend and your host, The Rhino, here. There are three ways you can get involved with The Rhino Report and the RWB Network. Here they are. Listen up. Number one, you can be a writer for one of the fastest-growing grassroots conservative media outlets out there. Send me a submission, and I'll read it, and we'll get you published on the RWB Network website. We see hundreds and hundreds of unique hits every single day. Number two, if you want to hear The Rhino Report in your local area, all you have to do is go to your local radio station's website and find the program director's email address. They're always pretty prominent there. Send them an email, say you want to hear the Rhino Report on your local AM or FM station, and I guarantee you, if just one person emails the program director, they will find me and we'll be on your airwaves. The third way to get involved with the RWB Network and the Rhino Report and actually make a little bit of money is if you have a little bit of sales experience or even none at all, shoot me an email. We're looking for people who want to sell some advertising space. The show is growing and so can your bank account. So those are three ways to get involved with the RWB Network and the Rhino Report. I'll see you back in about 20 seconds.
Talk radio the way the founding fathers would have done it.
I'm just a man trying to make his mark on history.
Red State Talk Radio.
This is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. Let us never forget that police lives matter.
All right, welcome back to the Rhino Report. I am your host, and hopefully your friend, the Rhino. So why should Megyn Kelly call Donald Trump and thank him? Why? Why would you think that is? Maybe because she just got a $10 million book deal with HarperCollins Publishers. Yeah, that's a pretty good book deal. $10 million? I hope my book sells even a hundredth of that. Unbelievable. So they're going to release this book in the fall. They're very excited about it. The Harper's Collins Senior Vice President for Creative Development, Lisa Sharkey, says, "Megyn Kelly is among the most interesting and influential people in America today, and we are thrilled to be publishing her first book." Now, I'm sure that the spat with Donald Trump had nothing to do with this. Not a thing, right? Yeah, right. You know, it almost seems as if this may have been, I don't know, planned. Listen, I know some of you out there are big Megyn Kelly supporters. I never was. I probably never will be. I think she's an above-average television host. I wouldn't go as far as to say journalist. And the new haircut, she looks like Justin Bieber. Let's be honest here, folks. Or she looks like that one scene from Something About Mary, if you guys know the scene I'm talking about. Yeah. So she gets $10 million. I guess good for her. Good for her. I don't think that will be a large selling book. I think it will sell probably more copies than that, whatever it is, Tough Decisions that Hillary Clinton wrote. What did that sell? 35 copies? She got like a $4 or $5 million advance on it. Sold like, I don't know, 10 copies, whatever the heck it was. So good for Megyn Kelly. Maybe she'll quit Fox. I doubt it. All right. Let's look at some new poll numbers, because here we are, the Friday right before New Hampshire, and there are a ton of poll numbers. I'm going to cut to the chase. We'll read some of them. Trump is in the lead on all of them, and Rubio is in second, except for one poll by Quinnipiac where Cruz is in second. Okay? So if you want to fast forward and not hear the numbers for the next 3 or 4 minutes, I get it. WBUR and Mass Inc., New Hampshire Republican presidential primary poll. Donald Trump 90. Donald Trump 29%. Rubio and Cruz at 12%. Kasich and Bush at 9%. Fiorina at 8%. And Christie at 6%. Carson at 4%. If we go over to the Democrat side of the WBUR poll, also Sanders at 54%, Clinton at 39%. That gives Sanders a 15-point lead there. Trump with a 17-point lead in that first one. Now heading over to the Boston Globe, New Hampshire poll. Boston Globe and Suffolk University. Trump, 29%. Rubio, 19%. Kasich, 13%. Bush, 10%. Cruz at 7%. Christie at 5%. Fiorina and Carson sharing the basement at 4%. That's a 10%, 10-point advantage for Trump in the Boston Globe. Sanders has a 9-point advantage in the Boston Globe over Clinton. If we go to the NBC Wall Street Journal Marist poll, also New Hampshire Republicans, Trump at 30%, Rubio at 17%, Cruz at 15%, Kasich at 10%, Bush at 9%, Carson and Christie at 4%, Fiorina at 2%. That gives Trump a 13-point advantage. And then you have a UMass 7 News tracking poll out of New Hampshire. This puts Trump at 34%. That's the largest number that he sees so far. Rubio at 15%, Cruz at 14%, Kasich and Bush at 8%, and then you have Christie at 5%, Carson 4%, Fiorina 3%, Fiorina trailing in just about all these polls, along with Carson. That same UMass out of New Hampshire, also a tracking poll, gives Sanders a 15-point advantage over Clinton. Why they still list O'Malley, I have no idea. ARG, also a tracking poll out of New Hampshire. It's 36% for Trump, 15% for Rubio, 14% for Kasich, Cruz at 12%, and then you got to drop down to the single digits, Bush at 8%, Christie at 6%, Fiorina and Carson, a couple of deuces. That gives Trump the 21-point advantage, and Sanders with 16-point advantage in that ARG tracking on the Democrat side. And Republican nomination, this is not the New Hampshire, this is for an overall Republican nomination. Quinnipiac shows Trump at 31%, Cruz in second at 22%, Rubio at 19%, then you got to drop all the way back down to Carson at 6%. So this has become a three-pony race. Bush is at 3% in this poll, Christie at 3%, Kasich at 3%, Fiorina at 2%. So this Quinnipiac poll gives Trump the 9-point advantage with some head-to-heads. Nothing really of note. Quinnipiac shows Trump beating, Sanders beating Trump by 10 points. It also shows Clinton beating Trump by 5 points. And then you have one of the big polls here. One of the big numbers you're going to hear a lot about is this Quinnipiac poll on the Democrat side for the national nomination. Clinton only beating Sanders by 2%. So Clinton had a large advantage in these national polls no more than about 4 or 5 weeks ago, 20, 30, 40% in some instances. Now she's only leading by 2%. Like I said, the Clintons are driving this campaign into a brick wall, like they are just so good at doing. The only close ones here on Quinnipiac head-to-head, Cruz-Clinton is a tie, and Rubio beats Clinton by 7%, again, in a general election, according to Quinnipiac. So those are your polls today. Trump, really very secure in New Hampshire. You're seeing Rubio with a good pop. Rubio was not polling well in New Hampshire prior to Iowa. Here he is in second in just about every poll. Cruz has slipped a little bit. Kasich, good showing at the Boston Globe poll. Kasich at 13%, not too bad. And then he's at 10% in the NBC Wall Street Journal Marist poll. He and Jeb Bush really are the ones they're fighting for, that like older establishment, you know, and Bush is trailing Kasich in most, actually all instances, and that's not good for the Bush campaign. Of course, we've heard the last couple of days that Bush and Christie are kind of teaming up against Cruz and Rubio. You know, I'm not so sure I'm real big on that. Christie and Bush to me are miles apart in terms of their politics. But if they think it's going to help them, I think they're just battling it out for third or fourth or even fifth place. And this isn't going to help them much. This has really become a Trump-Rubio-Cruz thing. That those are going to be your final three. I really do believe that. I think even though Kasich is looking strong in New Hampshire, he's not polling very well anywhere else. Of course, Ohio, he's not doing too bad, and I think Wisconsin, he's not doing too bad. But other than that, he will never come close to the 1,236 delegates needed. I don't know if anybody really will. If someone can enter the convention with 1,000, that may be the most. So, talking about George Bush. Well, we were talking about George Bush and Jeb Bush. I mean, it's hard to confuse the two, but somehow I just did. So, George Bush is going to start campaigning a little bit for Jeb Bush. The first TV spots have hit the airwaves, a 30-second commercial featuring the former president and campaigning for his brother. It's all from the Right to Rise Super PAC, that Jeb's big Super PAC. You know, this is the odd thing. So, Jeb spent so much time trying to not be a Bush that now he's calling on the Bushes to help. His mother, Barbara, was campaigning with him in New Hampshire yesterday, and I think she's there today as well. Everybody loves Barbara Bush. I agree. I think she's a great woman. She's a great patriot. But he spent so much time trying to not be a Bush, and now he wants the Bushes involved. Remember the whole campaign thing went from, like, Jeb Bush to just Jeb with the exclamation point? Because, you know... All right, so George W. says in this ad, the first job of the president is to protect America. Our next president must be prepared to lead. Jeb Bush is a leader who will keep our country safe. Yada, yada, yada. This is starting to air in South Carolina. I think they've had a few airings, though, maybe nationally. I think I did see one. Really, South Carolina will be Jeb's last stand. He's going to need... to poll very well there, or he's going to be in a big, big trouble, and then he's going to have to support somebody, and you know he's not going to support Rubio. You know that's coming, and he definitely won't support Trump, I don't think. I mean, who knows? Maybe he will. I have a hard time seeing him support Cruz, so I think for lack of people to support, he has to run this thing and run its course. He's got $1 million in his He's got $100 million in his war chest, and they're starting the ads. So, if he can't finish in the top three in South Carolina, that's going to be that for Jeb, I believe. All right, so Carson, not real happy about this whole Cruz stuff. You guys heard about it. The Cruz campaign was calling their precinct managers, saying that Carson was dropping out of the campaign, and they said they saw it on CNN, and CNN is saying they heard it from the Cruz campaign. Nobody wants to say who was wrong. You know, it sounds like CNN really started this, and they don't want to own up to it. That's kind of what it's starting to sound like to me. I don't think Ted Cruz and his campaign would engage in those kind of dirty tactics. All right? I have no problem thinking that he would use that if he thought it was happening, if he thought that was true, if he thought Carson was going to drop out after Iowa, why not say something? Or if he had knowledge of that, or if Carson had put out a statement that kind of got looked over because of the whole thing in Iowa. Yeah, by all means, use that. I mean, that's smart campaigning. I don't think that Cruz really did this to be malicious. I think they thought they were making a very quick, good decision. But let's be honest. Ben Carson should not be leaving to go do laundry. Or at least let it be known that he's doing laundry or getting new clothes in Florida. You're campaigning. This is a marathon. You put on your shorts and you run the marathon. That's how this works. You know, there's no Targets. There's no Walmarts. There's no, I don't know, Brooks Brothers or whatever it is he shops on the campaign trail. There's no money in the tills to buy a couple of shirts or a couple of cheap sport jackets. I mean, geez, you can come out to Long Island, Caraco Suits. They're giving away 6 suits for the price of 1 every day. I mean, you can make a quick trip here and get suits. So that was a big mistake on the Carson campaign's part to say he was leaving to go to Florida. And so Cruz capitalized and he won Iowa. You know, had that not happened, had those precinct managers not been relayed the information via phone and email and text and everything, and then gone and dispersed that information to the caucus goers, you know, there's a possibility, even if Carson picked up 4 votes from this not happening in each precinct, that would have been 6,000 votes. 6,000 more votes for Ben Carson. So he has every right to be mad, but maybe it's not Cruz's fault. Maybe it's CNN's fault. This is not the first time we've seen a news network maybe declare something a little bit too soon. Let's, reference 2000 with ABC and NBC and all them. So Carson definitely feeling the heat in the polls, not looking too good. He may get to South Carolina, and he may look for a strong showing there, and if there's no strong showing in South Carolina, he may be gone also. So we have a debate coming up on Saturday, and now it's on Saturday because network television stations don't do debates during the week. They don't want to mess up their primetime schedules. So we have a Saturday debate on ABC. The lineup is Cruz, Trump, Rubio, Carson, Bush, Christie, Kasich. Who is the noticeable missing person? Well, none other than Dean Hardscrabble herself, Carly Fiorina. She is not happy. She's actually polling better than Carson in a couple of polls. She's polling better than Christie in a couple of polls. And she's not happy. She wants to be in the debate. It doesn't sound like ABC is going to let her into the debate. She missed the cutoff. I think it had to be top three in Iowa or top six polling in New Hampshire. So she missed that. It was something by like a thousandth of a percent. It was something very, very minute. At the end of the day, what's the difference? 7 people on the stage or 8 people on the stage? Like, what's really the difference? I say let her in. Who cares? She's kind of a buzzkill in these debates, you know? Everyone's having fun, and they're bantering back and forth, and she puts on the serious face, and she's not very likable, but hey, she knows the issues, and she's a candidate, so maybe let her there. She had a statement here where she accuses the game of being rigged. She says, "I've been telling you the game is rigged, and here's even more proof. The people of Iowa voted in an election this week, and I beat the establishment's guys. Tens of thousands of you stood with us yesterday to demand a fair debate, but Disney's ABC and the RNC have decided to keep me off the debate stage this weekend, caving to the pressure from the same establishment candidates who are afraid to debate me." So, she's not happy. I wouldn't be happy either, but it sounds like she probably won't be there, but I say let them play. Let her get up there. Let her give it a shot. I mean, they're only spending their own money, right? Money that we give them, I suppose. Well, I didn't give them, but somebody gave her money. She has a good war chest, though. She can fund a campaign for a bit longer. But if she finishes at 2% in New Hampshire, this will probably be it for Carly. I thought she might make it to South Carolina, but now I'm thinking maybe not. What else do we have here? Russia ramping up military drills. This is not good. What they're doing is they've had at least 18 large-scale exercises over the past 3 years, and some of them have involved more than 100,000 troops. The Vice Admiral of the British Royal Navy, Clive Johnstone, has also said in a statement that a level of Russian capability that we have never seen before has been present on the naval stage. The U.S. has pledged to send 250 tanks, armored vehicles, and military equipment to former members of the Soviet bloc, the people who think that they might be next in line, Poland and Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, the Baltics. They think that they might be next after seeing the invasion of Crimea. They're getting a little nervous. They're getting a little nervous, and at the end of the day, they have every right to be. Why wouldn't Putin try to start a war? That country is hurting. The gas prices, oil prices have killed Russia. Their economy is in the tank. It's really, really bad right now. What a better way to boost the economy than start a war? That may be Putin's feelings here. Now, if that's the case, who would you feel secure as our commander-in-chief? Who would you feel secure? Bernie? Hillary? Not me. So this is not looking good. But this could be a show of force, like some of these Axis of Evil countries like to do. We've learned that maybe North Korea may be launching a missile on Monday. We're not sure where it's going, but they may be launching a missile. And, you know, they've done what? They've tested out 4 nuclear or atomic devices in the last couple of years. Japan's not real happy about it. South Korea, less than thrilled about it. This spat between North and South Korea, it's gotten to a point where it's almost comical. Now, I know that there are many lives lost at one point here, but this little spat they have going on now is almost comical. So right now, South Korea is blaring pop music across the border into North Korea and criticism of Kim Jong-un. They got loudspeakers all over the border, and they're blaring this pop music into North Korea. Well, not to be outdone. North Korea has launched an all-out attack on South Korea by sending balloons full of cigarette butts into South Korea, and these balloons, like, they detonate and the cigarette butts go everywhere. That's the kind of, this is the kind of back and forth we're dealing with over there on the Korean Peninsula. It's pretty funny. Like, I know this could escalate, and there's a high probability this will escalate, and Russia will be involved, and China will become involved, because China's hurting too, and what a better way for them to reboot their economy than to be involved in a war. That's what happens when economies start going south. These countries start getting a little antsy. They try to figure out ways to reboot their economy. Not everyone can do what Japan is doing now. Japan has negative interest rates. That is doing really well for the Japanese economy. They just announced it last week. That will never happen here, folks. Banks in this country will never give you your money back. You know why? Because if they go bankrupt, they get saved. So there's no point in having a negative interest rate. So, cigarette butt-filled balloons in North Korea, pop music, probably Lady Gaga because she's pretty terrible, or maybe even Adele. Wouldn't that be funny if South Korea was blaring Adele to North Korea? You know, she doesn't want to be involved in politics, she doesn't like Trump. Whatever. Blair Adele. Blair Lady Gaga. Blair something. All right. I want to talk about a school in Oklahoma, and it's not just in any town in Oklahoma. It's called OK, Oklahoma. Now, right away, this is a cool place to live. OK, Oklahoma. They have decided that they are going to arm their teachers, the teachers that want to be armed. They can carry firearms if they're qualified and if they pass a background check and whatever different applications that the school district puts them through, they can carry a firearm. And not only can these teachers carry a firearm in the school, there is a sign, a billboard in front of the school that reads, "Attention. Please be aware that certain staff members at OK Public Schools can be legally armed and may use whatever force is necessary to protect our students." Huh? How about that? That, I need to give a big high five to Mark Hayes. Mark Hayes is the principal of the OK High School. He said, "There have been numerous shootings in the country, and we want to keep our students safe. These are our kids." Perfect. Bravo. Shout out to you, Mr. Mark Hayes, and to the OK Oklahoma School District. This needs to happen in more places, because I can guarantee you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, one of these mass shootings now will never happen at this school as long as that billboard is up and those teachers keep carrying weapons. They're qualified to carry them, and they can carry them in OK Oklahoma. In case you're not aware or of the whereabouts of OK Oklahoma, it's about 50 miles southeast of Tulsa, if that helps you out geographically at all. This is a good move. We have not seen a school do this yet, and I am very happy to report that today on the Rhino Report. This has been buried under a pile of other garbage on the news sites, but I found it, and really good, really, really good. If they're on Twitter, hey, give them a shout-out on Twitter. Give them a congratulations. Tell them you're a patriot and you're proud of what they do. I'm not sure if they are on Twitter or Facebook, but if you can find them, give them a shout-out. Let them know that they have support. Because I'm going to try to get in touch with them, too, and let them know that they have my support as well. All right, before we go, 2 NYPD officers shot in the Bronx, entered a stairwell here. A couple of guys were there. One shot at the cops. One hit the cop in the nose. Another cop was hit in the hip. The guy walked in his apartment, ran away from the cops, went to his apartment, and killed himself. That is one of the best case scenarios I have heard about all week. The cops are alive. They're going to be alive. They're doing well. And the man who shot at the police officers is now dead. What's better than that? All right, that's a good way to end the week with the Rhino Report. So, as always, a huge thank you to all of those serving our country at home and abroad. Also, a huge thank you to those in the law enforcement community. Thank you for all you do. We all appreciate it. Keep up the great work. God bless all of you. God bless all your families. And until Monday, have a great weekend, everyone. I'm the Rhino, and I'm out.
Been listening to the Rhino Report. Always right.